Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I bet.
Amazing way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. Been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. And we thank you for being here. Russell Brown is our guest. He's our good friend, a longtime original member of our Brain Trust. He is our business buying and selling expert in the Brain Trust. He's the author of Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business, which got the Kiplinger's Gold Award. And also another book called Preparing Your Business for Sale. And he's also the creator of the outstanding software program for buying and selling and valuing a business called BizPricer. He's our good friend, Russell Brown. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jim. I'm glad to be back.
It's good to have you back, as always. It's always a pleasure after all these years. You know, we're in our 11th year together. Do you know that?
11 years.
We're in our 11th year. It's been like about 10 and a half.
It's amazing.
A lot of marriages don't make it that long, you know?
No, I was just thinking that. You know, what happened to our 7-year itch, you know?
I know.
Kind of went right through that.
Well,
didn't feel a thing.
Okay, I think we've taken that little metaphor far enough there, Russ. Hey, one of the things that's interesting about the current economic situation, Russell, is that I suspect that financing options for buying a business have been altered. I'm not going to say reduced, but they probably have been reduced, at least from a standpoint of third-party financing. I know that some of the people I know who are trying to get debt out of different groups to, you know, take their company to the next level, quality companies, but they're having a little trouble with the debt situation. Not because of their credit worthiness, but just because of the debt crisis. But when it comes to selling a business or me buying a business from you, for example, have people had to become more creative these days?
Yes, and you know, what I'm hearing from the field as far as the ability to get financing for the sale of a business, it's always been tough, even in good times. It's relatively tough because the big part of the purchase price of a business, usually the biggest part, is the goodwill, which is an intangible thing, and you know, banks and other formal lending organizations have a lot of trouble lending money on goodwill. So it's always been an issue, but it's of course worse now. I mean, things that any kind of deal is being scrutinized so carefully. And everybody wants to stay out of the mess of not having their loans paid off or having slow payments and so on.
Well, some people have just abandoned the space.
Right.
You know, they're not even in that business anymore. Some companies.
Right. And like I said, it was very difficult anyway. You basically had to get a loan on the sale of a business. Outside of the seller now, we're talking outside the seller from an
third
institution.
Party.
Yeah, third party. Yeah, you actually had to, you most always had to go through the SBA. And, of course, that a lot of people don't understand, SBA doesn't loan money.
Right.
But you go through, they have a program, and they have they have banks which are part of a program they've set up that helps to find financing to start a business and to sell a business and to expand a business and so on. And so what's happened is a lot of these banks that have been identified as potential lenders through this program to business buyers They're dropping out. They aren't even making those kind of loans. They won't even talk to you. So, and like I said, they weren't that many to start with. It was difficult. You could always find a bank to loan money against the hard assets.
Right.
You know, the tangibles,
the real estate, the inventory, the equipment,
yeah,
things like that.
Even accounts receivable, you know, you could get loans against that. But the intangible stuff, and that's what makes up the most of the value of many small businesses, was always tough, and now it's
it's a chunk of the price.
Yeah,
it's a pretty big chunk of the price.
Yes, exactly.
And you know, Russell, part of the intangibles are not just the goodwill, but the unleverageable part of receivables and inventory. They still have to be paid for. We'll talk about that when we come back. And we're going to talk about some ideas. Russell's going to have some ideas about how you can get around some of the challenges right now if you are trying to buy a business. 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 17 until the hour. I'm the guy who doesn't know how to tell time. It's 43 after the hour. 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. If I didn't laugh at myself, I'd miss some of the best laughs of my life. Russell Brown is our good friend. He's with us now, and the author of a number of books on buying and selling a business. Also the creator and the developer and the publisher of an outstanding piece of software that will help you value your business. It's called BizPricer. And Russell, tell us about that.
BizPricer is a very easy-to-use software that I developed based on my years of being a business appraiser and evaluator. And it uses a just-in-time information system, so you don't have to read a manual. You know, every screen you go to as you progress through the screens has the information you need right there, and it's had a lot of super acceptance. I've really been pleased and proud of the fact that it's going on. And
it's Windows-based. It's got a wizard. I mean, it's easy to use.
Yes, and it's downloadable, so you can get it immediately, or you get it on a CD-ROM mailed to you.
Right.
Or you can even do both. Just buy the CD and ask us to give you the download.
That's what I recommend, folks. I recommend you download it so you got it right now, and then have him send you the CD so you can have your hard copy. I always like having my hard copies of things, Russell.
Absolutely, I do too.
Yeah. And so that's BizPricer.com?
BizPricer.com, yeah.
And but then the website's also...
It's BizPricer.
And, of course, your other website is businessbookpress.com. I'm sure they can link to it there. You can find Russell's books and all the other things he offers there. We're talking about financing a business, Russell, and some of the issues, some of the more creative ways that people are going to have steps they're going to have to take in order to get financing because of some of the challenges in the credit markets these days. One of the things I wanted to point out, Russell, is, you know, I think it's important to break down the elements of a business purchase, don't you? I mean, you've got the tangibles, which could be real estate, equipment, fixtures, inventory, and also, you know, contracts and receivables. Even though they're not things you can kick and hold necessarily, they're financial and intellectual type of things. They're still real assets. And then you've got the other thing that's really intangible, and that's the goodwill, and that's completely intangible. But the point I wanted to make, Russell, is that there are a lot of different ways to finance equipment and inventory and all that, but every single one of those assets are not 100% leverageable, are they? I mean, there's some part of that you got to come up with in other ways, like 20% of the real estate and maybe 35% of the inventory and maybe 50% of the receivables, et cetera, et cetera, don't you?
Well, absolutely, and those percentages are all keyed to the age, basically, of the inventory and the receivables, of course.
And the history of the business's ability to turn those those items.
Absolutely. So they look at the aging of the inventory. So when you go and you get a loan for this purpose, you're going to find that the bank's going to want you to fill out many forms that mm-hmm. give them an insight as to just how fast your customers pay. And so they generally, on receivables, on good receivables, if you have customers who pay 100% within 30 days, then typically they'll loan like 80% against the receivables. But it's very mm-hmm. rare you have a business like that.
80% receivables financing would be pretty high.
It's very high.
You got to have them.
I'm saying if the history
yeah,
shows
that's right.
100% payment within 30
mm-hmm.
days.
Mm-hmm.
That's
La La Land. That's that didn't happen.
Yeah, well, I'm saying that's the way you start, and then you back off from there. But typically, receivables are going to be around 50% to 50% of what you're going to get loan, maybe 60%. But then to inventory, again the same thing. Now, a lot of people have old inventory on the books. And they're going to want to know how long that inventory's been in stock and so on. And so, again, they start at some percentage that they won't go over, and then they work backwards depending on the age of the inventory.
So if I'm buying a business from you and you want, for argument's sake, $1 million, and I say, okay, break that down for me, you come up with a list, and we put that list down in the middle of a sheet of paper, and it's this much for the real estate, this much for the inventory, et cetera, and we go all the way down to the different things, and there's the retail price, so to speak. Then mm-hmm. wouldn't it be a good idea to go to the left of that and say, okay, here's another column. This is how much I think, this is the percentage and the number that I think I can borrow against each one of those assets. And then on the other side of that column, if you want to put it that way, put the remainder, whatever is not financeable. And one side is where you go to third parties to get the money, which could include the owner. And then the other side, or the seller, I should say, and the other side is what you've got to come up with yourself. Meaning your equity or something, right?
Right. And I would I suggest about 25% to 30% out of the personal funds of the buyer. Now, whether that's
does that include goodwill?
That includes goodwill, yes.
Okay. Hold on to that thought, Russell. We're going to come back, folks. Yep. This is good stuff Russell's giving us. We'll be back right after these messages. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. A little Steppenwolf bringing us back. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out. Use them to your advantage. We built them for you. No barriers to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us, use our stuff. Russell Brown is our guest, and we're talking about buying and selling a business, primarily financing that business. So Russell, the bottom line here is the whatever the business retail price is, so to speak, whatever you think it's going to have to pay for everything, all the physical to intangible assets, some of it is financeable, and probably from different groups. You may borrow the real estate from a mortgage from one bank or one group. You may borrow the equipment money from another, get the equipment money from another group. You may get the inventory and receivables from another group. Maybe two or three or four or five different groups involved to make this thing happen. But then it also comes down to two other people. The buyers and the sellers are going to have to get involved and put some money in, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And it's always been that way, at least in the vast majority of small business sales. The seller must provide some financing to the buyer, mm-hmm. and the buyer has got to have a significant chunk of money, which is, like I said, could be 25-30% mm-hmm. of the overall price of the deal. Now, just you know, let's take real estate out of the picture for a moment, because that's mm-hmm. financed separately, and
right.
usually that isn't the same. Well,
and that's
today,
usually
it might be. It might be 25-30% today.
But usually, kind of, real estate's the easy part to get.
Usually, right.
Yeah.
And so that's a wild card that's involved right now. So, but anyway, so you need to come up with that cash. And here's an important point that everybody's got to keep in mind, that the seller financing is going to have to be there, because most business sale deals will not work financially in the payment methods and out of the cash flow of the business unless there's a favorable seller financing arrangement. And I'm talking usually over the course of 5 years, a five-year loan, but it's got to be at very favorable interest rates to
mm-hmm.
get the payment numbers down.
You need to expect any financial institution that knows what's going on, they're going to want to know what the other payment obligations are of this person that they've loaned money to for receivables. This is not going to be out of sight, folks. You're whatever the deal is you cut with the seller, the other lenders are going to know about it.
Yep. But here's an axiom of business valuation. The business should be able to pay for itself. That's the axiom that mm-hmm. we all work towards in mm-hmm. making and putting a fair deal together.
Right.
Pay for itself over the course of 5 years. Pay for, that's an important
point. Right.
So it intimidates a lot of buyers to keep from buying a business. They don't understand that when they buy the business, if they structure the deal right,
mm-hmm.
that business will pay for itself in 5 years.
Right. Now, that doesn't mean that you'll be out of debt with regard to all the receivables, all the inventory paid off. You don't mean that, because that's always coming and going. You mean from a standpoint of the goodwill and the equity that you put into it?
Yeah, the purchase price of the business. And when I'm talking about the purchase price of the business, you can talk about it with the inventory and receivables in there or out or not being considered. And so generally I like to look at it without them being considered, because they're variables. You know, the inventory today is not the inventory next week, and the same with the receivables. It changes daily, weekly,
monthly.
But
the goodwill that you paid for, the money that you had to put in, all that should be recoverable within 5 years.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
absolutely.
Yeah.
That's
a good axiom.
Well, yeah, and so...
And if you can't do it, if you can't figure it out like that, then that's kind of a thumbnail indicator that you, a rule of thumb that you can't, the business is too much. Either you can't run it properly, or that you're paying too much if you can't make it pay for itself in 5 years.
You're paying too much.
Mm-hmm.
And, just a little quick commercial here. In BizPricer, I'm up to version 3.0 that's out now.
Right.
And in the latest version, it now has a module for buyers and sellers to work on these issues of financing and fold all this in, the financing, the taxes,
right,
and the time value of money and all of that. It's all in the new BizPricer.
Yeah, at BizPricer.com. Hey, thanks, Russell. Thanks for being here. Good job today.
Okay.
See you next time. Quick break. I'll be back after the news. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.